This is a summary of Charlie Munger by bestbookbriefings.com. Charlie Munger, The Complete Investor, by Trent Griffin. What makes Charlie Munger interesting? Not only is Charlie Munger a great investor, but also an admirable personality. Munger's frankness was never hindered by a consideration for tact and social customs. Munger's life was not a wealth accumulating journey. It was, likewise, one of developing his unique qualities. However, Munger used to advise people not to follow his example without thinking, since this could jeopardize their popularity. In this context, he pointed out that whereas his partner Warren Buffett would be remembered as a teacher, he would be remembered as a rash wise man. Another important attribute about Charlie Munger is his great interest in role models and learning from people's successes and failures, which made him read hundreds of biographies, most important of which was that of Benjamin Franklin, who he considered an idol. More importantly was that he thought the best thing to do was help people learn more things. Charlie Munger, a biographical hint, both Buffett and Munger were born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska. He studied mathematics at Michigan University. As he was getting prepared to go to college, World War II broke out, during which he served as a meteorologist in the military. He was trained at the California Institute of Technology. After the war, he studied law, after which he made some partnerships that qualified for forming the most renowned of the country's law enterprises. In spite of his great success in the legal field, he forsook it to become a full-time investor. It was Buffett's great encouragement that helped him do so. It was that spur that made him eventually a billionaire. However, exceptionally enough, he was not interested in luxurious cars or great houses. Why the author was urged to write about Munger, in spite of Munger's coming up with splendid ideas, delivering great speeches, writing important essays, and hosting several investors at his companies, Wesco Financial and Berkshire Hathaway, no author complied them to make up a theory or write a book. It was not until the internet bubble had occurred that Trent Griffin started paying attention to the fact that the fear that overwhelmed everybody, and started reading Buffett's investing methods, only to find out that Munger's ideas had more impact on him. He was actually trying to know how much of his stock to sell in renowned internet and telecommunications companies. In a week, Griffin decided to sell half his stocks in internet and telecom companies. Yet, more importantly, he decided to scrutinize value investing. Value investing was devised by Ben Graham and used by Munger. It proved the best way to outperform a market index. Griffin says that much of this book is dedicated to pointing out the roots of psychological and emotional slips which he learned to avoid from Munger. He also writes that the purpose of writing this book is to make a checklist that can be used in investing. In fact, Munger is a strong supporter of the checklist method in facing the difficulties of life. Munger thought that making a list of the likely and unlikely answers that one comes up with when asked about problems helps them solve them. Griffin thought that to make his book more helpful, it was important to indicate the four main principles of value investing. 1. Consider the share of stock similar to owning a business. 2. Buy a significant discount to intrinsic value to create a safety margin. 3. Make the market, which has a dual mood, serve you, not control you. 4. Be impartial, sensible, and unemotional. Munger believed that those who master these four principles can train themselves to avoid emotional and psychological slips and make successful investments, thinking that one cannot be perfect, yet can improve with the passage of time. In fact, Munger believed that a successful investor never stopped learning. Simplicity. The main component of Graham's value investing scheme. The basic principles of Graham's investing scheme rest on simplicity. According to Munger, Graham's investing scheme was so easy that anybody could apply it. Anybody could, thus, become an investor. Likewise, Warren Buffett believes that investing is simple, but not easy. It is believed that an investor commits mistakes when he/she forgets the four main principles or makes slips that have to do with applying them. Griffin quotes Peter Bevelin's advice to break down complex issues into their simplest constituents, which helps one analyze them, to support this idea. He also quotes Munger's words in one of his letters to shareholders, in which he wrote that simplicity is one tactic of improving performance, as it leads people to better understand what they are doing. Munger said that if people exclude irrationality and freeing one's mind from clutter, one can choose to do rational things. Also, clear thinking and simplicity are driven by concentration. This leads to better investing results. One aspect of this simplicity is, according to Graham, doing the things that would not result in committing mistakes. Hence, a successful investor works hard to attenuate the risks of investment. That is why Graham's scheme works at its best when the stock market falls or is flat. Therefore, if investors focus on return and pay no attention to risk, they lose a lot. Hence, simplicity means that one acts in a less impulsive way. Investors should be patient as well as aggressive. They have to wait until the right time to make forceful investments. A second aspect of Graham's simplicity is the market's folly. This folly is supposed to be the main source of investors' opportunity. A successful investor, according to Graham, takes ample time to read and rationalize, awaiting one significant folly to arise and grasp it. In better words, they prefer buying mispriced assets to making long-term future profits. Therefore, it is because of the market's recessions that Graham's investors thrive. Here is it important to point out another driver of Graham's simplicity, the trained response. This response is induced by not paying attention to the distracting clatter of other investors. A third aspect is knowing that investment is different from gambling. While investment means that consumption is postponed in the present in hope that more will be consumed in the future, gambling means that consumption is made at the present moment. Also, investment is an activity which net present long-term value is positive, while that of gambling is negative. The four essentials of Graham's investing scheme. First, consider the share of stock similar to owning a business. If an investor knows nothing about the business of a company, then he/she will fail to understand value of the stocks and bonds related to it. To understand the business of a company, an investor should know what it sells, its customers, and competitors. An investor has a long list of important questions to ask him herself to attain such knowledge. Adept investors are like detectives. They continuously look for clues, search for facts, and are fully aware of what is going on in the present. Also, those adept investors avoid predicting how cash flows might change in the future in order to concentrate on valuing other companies. In other words, even if newspapers give positive future forecasts on the state of the economy, they do not make investments based on them. They suffice to learning and look for businesses that have a good history of generating money and sustained financial returns. They are not speculators. Hence, they do not waste their time. Likewise, they do not consider stocks and bonds a piece of paper. They analyze them thoroughly and see their safety and the return they bring. Speculators fail to be good investors, as they, as John Maynard Keynes puts it, keep thinking about others' opinions, which could lead to devastating results. Graham's investors, of whom Munger is one, focus on what they have at present, not on their destination, for actually data on the present is plentiful, while data on the future is zero. Moreover, they never depend on others' projections. Second, buy a significant discount to intrinsic value to create a safety margin. An investor's safety margin in public markets is equivalent to a taking a safe lane when driving on the expressway. Munger defines the margin of safety as the difference between price on the one hand and intrinsic value on the other. The safety margin in investing is similar to that in engineering. That is to say, in like manner, an engineer prepares a bridge which ought to carry 10,000 pounds to carry 30,000 pounds. An investor is prepared for the worst case. There is a shield that can protect the investor against making mistakes. Finding a margin of safety is not an easy task, which requires patience. Third, to make the market, which has a dual mood, serve you, not control you. Munger compares the market to an unpredictable person with a dual mood. Sometimes, he's unusually happy. At other times, he's unusually dejected. An investor should know the difference between the states. When dejected, the market sells an asset at a bargain price. When he is unusually happy, he sells it at more than it is worth. Such emotional problems occur because the market is made of many people who vote on the price of an asset on the basis of their emotions and forecasts and actions of all the rest. Graham believes that the market is made up of someone trying to know what another three are thinking about, while these three are trying to know what other three are thinking about, and so forth. It is interesting to point out that value investors find their best opportunities when the market is dejected. That is, this dejection gives them greatest opportunities to buy assets, for it is then that stocks are so mispriced that buying them becomes the best deal. An important principle in Graham's value investing is that prices go up and down in cycles. Value investors do not believe that those cycles are predictable. An adept investor observes these cycles patiently rather than predicts price movements, and is ready to promptly and assertively buy at a crucial discount to intrinsic value, and sometimes sell at a price that is attractive in relation to intrinsic value. As such, adept investors are outliers. Munger believes these short-term price movements have no rational foundations. They are uncertain. Fourth, be impartial, sensible, and unemotional. According to Munger, a successful investor is able to think and make decisions rationally. Rationality is best cure for psychological and emotional slips. But being rational is not an easy thing. Nor is it simple, either. Graham's value investors did not spend their time in speculating other people's behavior or trying to predict it. Rather, they spend it on trying to prevent their own behavior from hindering their rationality, objectiveness, and detachment. They also use checklists that help them identify the roots of their problems and avoid most mistakes. Munger's approach to business. Munger applied a business approach which he called worldly wisdom. He believed that in order to make good decisions, a person can use a variety of tactics from several disciplines, for example history, mathematics, philosophy, and so forth. In fact, each discipline interlaces with and strengthens the other, producing something that is greater than the sum of its parts. Munger based his approach on what he called a lattice of mental models to signify the multiplicity and interconnectedness of learning branches on which decisions could be based. To make himself clear, Munger used the example of a company that raises its product's price, but sells great quantities of it. Though this apparently violates the rule of supply and demand, it shows that people desire more of high-priced goods. This view is not weird, since the world is in reality made up of several complex, interwoven systems. Understanding those multitudinous systems can make people adept investors. In fact, Munger's speeches are filled with the ideas of renowned people in different fields. Munger believed that no matter how people are, devoting all their time to a narrow area of specialization or expertise can jeopardize their career. That is because the human brain gets trapped when it works with the available information. Hence, it has to be stretched to its full capacity by working on a wider scope of knowledge. Munger believed that learning is the way to avoid making a great deal of mistakes. Noteworthy here is that he admitted that mistakes cannot be eliminated altogether. Rather, they can be made fewer. Likewise, he admitted making more mistakes in his earlier life. That is because he was involved in complex field. Therefore, he advised investors and businessmen to avoid complexity, as it is the root of all mistakes. The attitude that causes errors, humans devised a simple set of rules called heuristics, which help them make decisions. However, it is the self-same set of rules that makes them make mistakes. Professor Richard Zeckhauser, whom Munger respects a lot, said that humans tend to deduce from heuristics from situations where they think very well to others where they fail to judge. Actually, humans have not adapted to face the world in its current state, as they had evolved in a completely different environment. It is the environment of their ancestors that controls their thoughts and feelings. True, they can compel their force their minds to think differently, but it is still difficult, for they have to disable the limitations imposed on them by their ancestral environment. Likewise, they need to redesign data, putting it in more familiar forms. Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman attributes making mistakes to age, as man's instinctive thinking makes him disposed to excess self-confidence, dangerous predictions, as well as the delusion in the planning. Even worse, if man spends a lot of time studying behavioral economics, he can still make blunders, as he has very little power to improve his skills. As a result, Munger advised people to read and try to learn a lot about their heuristics in order to limit their tendency of making mistakes. Here are some attitudes that lie behind making mistakes. 1. Humans' disposition toward prize and penalty. Prize and penalty have to do with reinforcement as per psychologists or incentives as per economists. Incentives can have devastating when improperly allocated. Nassim Taleb makes it a point that to reward somebody, they need to have a skin in the game. That is to say, nobody should be given the upper hand unless they take part in the disadvantages, especially when others may be hurt. That is why Munger thought that accountants had acquired legal authority over managers, since the latter might get involved in illegal or immoral activities. 2. The tendency to like love. Munger believed that people are disposed to ignoring or denying other people's mistakes because of their love for them. Likewise, they tend to twist facts in order to justify that love. Moreover, we are more swayed by the people we love and by those who love us. Though this could be good for our social life, it is not good for investing. Loving someone does not mean we should trust them with our money. Also, lending relatives money could, sometimes, be dangerous, as they pretend to have forgotten the loan. Likewise, one should not have too many stocks in one company. 3. The tendency to load the test. This is the reverse of the tendency to love like. Munger believed that doing business with people one does not like is not worthwhile. Likewise, he would not invest in companies known for their unethical activities. For instance, Munger and Buffett never invest in casinos. Munger thought that loathing detesting could have devastating effects if the ethical aspect is ignored. For example, if you are a manager to whom a job candidate from a rival college alma applies, you should not let your hate bias control you. This is not rational. Similarly, nobody should judge a business or company based on irrational promptings. In fact, people should separate how they feel about one thing from how they feel about another thing that is related. 4. The tendency to suspect and shun. This tendency exists because the human brain's processing load is reduced by doubting something. Daniel Kahneman considers the tendency to doubt and shun part of man's experiential system. That is to say, it is part of the fast, hasty, automatic processes that are difficult to control. Hence, if investing follows this tendency, investors can really suffer. As a result, investors should analyze facts and look into companies' operations and background. 5. The tendency to contradiction and shunning. People show a lot of hesitation to change even they receive new information that contradicts their beliefs. In effect, the tendency to contradict and shun is useful when it comes to investment, for if an investor needs to start the day with a brand new view of everything, then a lot of processing power is required from his or her brain. However, it could still be harmful, especially when it combines with the tendency to suspect and shun. The willingness to resist change in any idea becomes very strong if a person puts a lot of effort in reaching it and or if the change is unpleasant. This is clearly seen in companies that refuse to admit that computers or smartphones pose a threat to their business. 6. The tendency to be curious. Those who enjoy curious mindsets and love to search continuously are likely to find many opportunities. Likewise, curiosity is what is required to bet heavily when odds are promising, drawing on the available resources which become available because of practicing patience and discretion in the past. 7. The tendency of Kantian fairness. Humans tend to act irrationally toward people who think they are unjust by punishing them. By applying this to investors, we find that they might act in an irrational manner when they find themselves in an unfair situation. For instance, some people prefer losing money in an investment to seeing others benefit through injustice. Likewise, people may act this way as when they reject systems which are not fair to individuals, though they could be best for a group or society. 8. The tendency to be jealous envious. Munger says that if losing an opportunity does not bother us, then we should not feel bad if others become richer than us. The dangers of envy have always preoccupied Munger's mind, especially that it is a driver of many unfruitful thoughts and actions. 9. The tendency to reciprocate. Professor Robert Cialdini makes it a point that people help one another if they owe others a favor they did them to move ahead with their goals. The opposite is true if a person had done something that affected others negatively. The drive to reciprocate favors and disfavors is very strong, so much so that people tend not to smile at those who would not smile at them. 10. The tendency to seek patterns. Humans are disposed to seek patterns to find guidance in their decision-making process. For instance, when a famous actor advertises a firm's service on television, he might as well know nothing about investment. However, people take this for something good. However, people could be misled by patterns easily, which might lead to errors in investment. Hence, it is the role of a compliance professional to persuade people of a certain investment. In like manner, advertisers link their products with advantageous images. 11. The tendency to avoid pain. People hate bad news or anything that contradicts their existing ideas or beliefs. That is why the human brain tries to deny reality when faced with something that is likely to be painful. 12. The tendency to overestimate oneself. People are disposed to overestimating their own capacities, which makes a great problem for many investors. According to Kahneman, when a person is overconfident in him herself, they tend to be driven by an illogical account of themselves, even if it has no solid evidence. 13. The tendency to be over-optimistic. If the investor is over-optimistic or over-pessimistic, the market becomes either unusually happy or dejected. However, clinging to a rational degree of optimism is very hard, and only a small number of people can achieve it. 14. The tendency to overreact to deprivation. Munger thinks that the tendency to overreact to deprivation is reason behind a lot of ruin, as people's mind becomes hazy because of the losses and near misses. It is then when one's brain fails to think. 15. The herd instinct. Humans are naturally disposed to follow a herd of others. That is to say, because our time and information are limited, we tend to copy others' behavior. Munger is very much supportive of independent thinking and investment. Falling in the crowd because of the herd instinct makes it impossible to outperform the market. 16. The tendency to rely on simple things. Man's nervous system makes him disposed to rely on simple things. In investment terms, one should not buy an asset if it is just better than Lao's one a broker had offered. If X is better than Y, you should not buy it, since this is information is not enough to make an investing decision. 17. The tendency to be influenced by stress. At a certain point, stress can advance a person's performance. However, too much stress can jeopardize one's decisions. For example, a sales representative can make people make big investments by putting them under stress. 18. The tendency to misconstrue availability. Investors tend to make decisions that are based on what they easily remember, even if what is recalled is not the best data. For instance, if stocks have drastically fallen in a recent market crash, investors might be reluctant to buy, even if it is the best time to do so. 19. The tendency to use it or lose it. Skills decay if they are not used. Hence, if a person has not invested for a while, then it is likely that their skills have degraded. 20. The tendency to abuse drugs. No matter how talented you are, your life will be ruined if you abuse drugs or alcohol or both. 21. The tendency to be inactive. Staying active is crucial to both psychological and physical health. For some people like Minger, learning is the fuel of everything. Actually, when he was told he might lose his eyesight, Minger began studying Braille. 22. The tendency to abuse authority. People tend to follow whoever they think is an authority, especially during times of danger, indecision, or lack of knowledge. Cialdini asserts that during such times, people do not look seek answers for their questions inside themselves. Rather, they are driven by their lack of confidence to looking for outside sources of information to mitigate their uncertainty. He made it a point that titles, outward appearances, and the like give an air of authority. 23. The tendency towards silly speech or writing. Charlie Munger believed that when a company makes high returns on capital and reinvests at high returns, it will succeed. However, this would not make a subject for an article or a book. Hence, a lot of silly stories and incoherent ideas are made up. 24. The tendency to respect reasons. Munger makes it a point that people respect reasons, even if the person gives wrong or futile reasons. And then worse, such nonsense might increase people's compliance. It is a conditioned reflex which foundation is the widespread admiration of the importance of reasons. 25. Lollapalooza tendency. This is the tendency to seek a great deal of agreements of tendencies which act in favor of a certain result. Because a lollapalooza involves feedback, its effect can be non-linear and unpredictable. What are the right attitudes that befit an investor, then? 1. Patience. This is a valuable attitude that helps the investor avoid the market's extreme dual moods. 2. Discipline. A successful investor would not follow the herd. 3. calm but assertive. A successful investor should be brave enough to stick to his correct ideas, in spite of the market's ups and downs. 4. Intelligent, but not misled by Hayek's. A successful investor does not need a high IQ. Rather, he needs to be intelligent enough to learn from his mistakes and not to fall into the trap of overconfidence. 5. Honesty, to avoid falling into legal trouble. 6. Confidence in ethics. Successful investors should be confident in their concepts and abilities, but very attentive to their fallibility. 7. Long-term orientation. Many things are acquired on the long term, such as skills, relationships, and so on. A successful investor knows how to defer his gratification. 8. Passion. Passionate people work hard and invest more in achieving their goals. 9. Learning. A successful investor is a lifelong learner. 10. Scholarly. A successful investor cannot work in isolation. Rather, he has one to consult his decisions about. 11. Sensibility. A successful investor controls his emotional response to events and thinks independently. 12. Prudent. A successful investor is prudent, especially when it comes to managing investment expenses and in saving money, comparing the value of consumption at present with that of the future. 13. Risk loathing. Successful investors are so rational that they double their protection against risk. Different investors but still value investors. Though investors differ in style, they can still be value investors due to the following factors: the intrinsic value of a business, the suitable safety margin, the scope of what the investor understands, the number of securities to be bought, the time of selling the security, how much to bet when an asset is mispriced, whether or not the quality of business should be considered, which business to own wholly or partially, what should an investor understand about a business. Munger and Buffett are well known for assigning almost all the management responsibility of Berkshire to subsidiaries to run their own business, except for capital allocation, and creating in compensation systems. That is to say, though management of the businesses of Berkshire is greatly decentralized, the management of capital allocation and compensation systems is extremely centralized. Munger and Buffett believe that capital allocation is not learnt by a manager until he becomes CEO of a company, for it is a CEO who can make such a decision without jeopardizing the shareholders' return. This has become part of Berkshire's culture and legacy. Also, both believe that compensation systems cannot be delegated, for they are very important. Actually, Berkshire managers are too rich to be working for financial needs. In effect, the two billionaires select managers who love their work. Another point is that Munger prefers having a great moat to having great managers. Examples of moats are brands, regulation, and intellectual property rights. Of Venmore, their managers have the ownership mentality toward the business, not just act like managers. They are involved in all the aspects of the business. Likewise, Munger makes it a point that uprightness is as important to business as talent. In fact, working with honest people is, in itself, a reward. Finally, if we wish to speak about Berkshire figures, it is worthy to point out that Munger will invest, provided that he is sure that the current earnings are sustainable. Munger and Buffett loathe risk and learn from mistakes. They never buy an asset unless there is at least a 25% discount in intrinsic value, which makes a safety margin. Other factors contributing to Berkshire's moat include a tax efficiency, low overhead, permanent capital, high quality shareholders. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.